So our sermon today is in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 13. The title for our message today is Let Them See Christ in Me. Verse 3 says, For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. His divine power, the power of the Holy Spirit, has given us absolutely everything that we need to live a righteous and godly life. What kinds of things have we been given? We've been given the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and guiding us. We've been given God's book of wisdom and guidance. We've been redeemed by the Spirit through Christ. And we've had an open channel made for us so that we can speak directly to God. We can go to the throne of grace and we can speak to our Father. When we read the Old Testament, we see where there was a separation, where sin separated us from God. But through the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can go to God because we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. We've been given an open channel of prayer to our Father. It continues, through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. By His own glory, by His own grandeur and majesty, He has opened the way for us to personally know Him and His desires for our lives. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. Why is He the only way? I hear this when I'm out walking on the streets and talking to people. Occasionally I hear people say, why is your way the only way? It's because of what Christ did on the cross that we could never do for ourselves. We could never live that perfect life. By the time we know who Jesus Christ is, we've already sinned and separated ourselves from God. But through the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, He lived that perfect life. And He gives us His righteousness. He clothes us in His righteousness so that when God sees us, He sees us through Jesus Christ. And that's how He sees us as perfect, because of the sacrifice that Christ did. He's also truth. In a world of twisted morals, Jesus speaks only truth, and His words will draw us out of darkness. Jesus is the life to follow, the life to base your todays and tomorrows on. Jesus has you covered if you'll just follow His lead. Verse 4 continues, For by these He has bestowed on us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may escape from your immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire. God's Word, our Holy Bible, is filled with promises. Promises from God. He holds true to His Word, and when we receive these promises, they are ours to hold on to throughout our life. With each of these promises, there is instructions to identify who they're for. And the way we receive these promises is by turning away from immoral and disreputable desires. It continues, and become sharers of the divine nature. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence. By setting our desires in line with those of God, we become sharers of His divine nature. We see His hand move, we hear His voice, and as He instructs us and we move in confidence that He is with us, in each experience of our faith, it's developed a little more, and our morals are solidified. A person exercises to build up their muscles, to keep their health strong. And they give themselves over to making sure that they continue to do those exercises, because if you do exercise like I do, you exercise a couple of times a year, and then you get back into your old way of life and you forget about it. Your muscles aren't going to develop like the person who sets themselves to exercise every day or exercise four times a week or whatever. You're not going to develop as well as they are. It's the same thing with our spiritual health. If we exercise our spiritual health, if we read God's Word and let it be stored in our heart, the more times you read it, the more of it will stay in your heart and in your memory. If we exercise our spiritual health by reading God's Word, by praying to God, by looking for the miracles that He's doing in and around us, if we exercise our spiritual health by doing these things, our spiritual health, our faith, will be increased, will be strengthened. And in moral excellence, knowledge. In our desire to live upright and true in the eyes of God, whom we know is always watching and aware of what's in our hearts, in our desire to live upright before God, we will begin to seek knowledge of just what exactly is acceptable and unacceptable before God. So as we receive our morals from God's Word and search God's Word to understand how they apply to life, they'll be strengthened. They'll be solidified. Verse 6, and in your knowledge, self-control. As we spend time in God's Word developing knowledge of the things He says to do and the things He says to stay away from, we will then find self-control in following what God has instructed over following the enticements of the world. And in self-control, steadfastness. As you begin to see that what you do and say really does matter, as you begin to gather control over your selfish desires, your steadfastness, your steadiness will develop. And you'll determine moment by moment that this is the way I do things now. You'll become steady. And in your steadfastness, godliness. As you become determined to follow the knowledge of God's Word that you've been gaining and become cemented in your resolve to follow God's Word over easier, more entertaining ways, your godliness, your righteousness, will begin to develop. Verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly affection. These virtues don't end with drawing you closer to God. As you draw closer to God, you'll find that His desire is for you to reach out as well. Not just up to Him, but out to people around you as well. Maybe you've already heard this, but there's the symbol of the cross. And there's the vertical part. And that's between us and God in heaven. But then there's also the horizontal part. And a lot of times we like to think of, okay, this is where Jesus' hands were stretched out. This is where our sins were cast, as far as the east is from the west. But there's more to us reaching God. It's us reaching people with God as well. It's us pointing people to God, to where our salvation is, and to where their salvation is. And so this horizontal part can also represent where God wants us to stretch out, to reach out for other people as well. And in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit. God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. Hoard what God is setting in your hands, and you'll find that He will take it away and give it to someone else who will use it in ways that will encourage others. And so this is kind of a strong statement, because a lot of times we like to think of the love of God instead of what was preached before in churches about you got to do it the right way or you could lose everything. Well, if we look at God's Word, we see Jesus tell a parable of the master who went away and he gave out some of his money. He gave out talents in different amounts to different people. And while he was away, one of them buried it so that he wouldn't lose anything. He could give exactly the amount that was there back to the master when he returned. And each of the other ones went out and used what was given to them to increase the amount for their master. And when the master comes back, the master asks, "What's been done with what I gave you?" And most of you know this story, so you know how Jesus' story goes in this and what the response is from the master. But I want to point out that God gives us talents. He gives us blessings and gifts that each one of us have. And not every one of us have the same talents. We have different giftings. We have different abilities. But God gives them to us. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Not so that we can hide it, but so that we can go out and bring increase to the kingdom of God with the talents that He gave us. Learn to unselfishly seek the best for others and do things for their benefit. Husbands and wives, how much better would your home life be if you set aside your own agenda and did something to benefit your spouse? How about if you did it every 3 days? What would your home life look like? This is a hard one because I only see two people in here, three people in here that are still married. So let's try to change that a little bit. Let's do just somebody that you have a relationship with. Doesn't have to be an intimate relationship, but it's a friend, it's a coworker, it's somebody that you see on a regular basis out in society. What would your relationship like with that person look like if you set aside your own agenda and did something specifically to benefit that person? What would your relationship with that person look like? It's funny how when we give of ourselves to somebody, they turn and give back. Sometimes maybe not to you, maybe to somebody else. A couple weeks ago I shared a story, or maybe it was last week, I can't remember. Time's going by so fast. That about a person who had paid for somebody else's lunch in a convenience store. And when the person that had their lunch paid for was a little bit panicked about what to do, how to pay back this person, and where to find this person, the person said, "Just pay it forward." If we set ourselves aside and do something kind, something generous, if we bless somebody else, what's the likelihood that they're going to receive that blessing and they're going to turn around and bless somebody else? The likelihood is pretty good. Verse 8, "For as these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow toward spiritual maturity." Peter tells us that these qualities are already reserved for you as a Christian, but they increase in potency as we grow in spiritual maturity. As we reach to receive more of God, we grow. As we read His Word, we grow. As we pray and communicate with God, we grow. And as we listen for His voice, we grow. They will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to the true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Christian walk, we sometimes may find ourselves feeling inadequate to explain anything about God to another person. But when we begin to set aside time to read and think on, what is this section of God's Word saying to me right now? When we set time aside to search God's Word, we will gain truth and understanding to share with people who also may not understand. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, closing his spiritual eyes to the truth, having become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, or at the very least short-sighted. What qualities? What qualities are we talking about? Faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, your unwavering steadiness, godliness, brotherly affection for those of like faith, and Christian love, a love like Christ showed for those who were broken and even detestable. Without these qualities developing in you, you are living blind to the fact that you once were a sinner who needed saving, and still are a sinner who should be rejoicing because your Savior loved you enough to save your soul even yet while you were still sinning. Verse 10. Therefore, believers, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. Be sure that your behavior reflects and confirms your relationship with God. Jesus talks in Scripture about those called by My name. They're Christians. We're Christians. We're called by the name of Christ. He says, you'll know them by what they do. You will know them by their choices. This section of Scripture tells us to be sure that our behavior reflects and confirms that we have a relationship with God. Do people know that you are a believer by the choices you make in life, by your actions in response to people, by the things you do and say, and the things you determine not to be a part of? Do your choices allow people to recognize Christ in you? For by doing these things, actively developing these virtues, you will never stumble in your spiritual growth, and you will live a life that leads others away from sin. How about that? By setting these virtues in our heart, by exercising them in our lives, by displaying them in our choices, other people will be led by what they see in us to Christ, to the person who we're following. How much clearer can Scripture get? By developing these virtues in your life, faith, morals, knowledge of God's Word, self-control, steadiness, godliness, brotherly affection, and Christian love. By developing these in your life, in the way you behave, in the way you speak, you will never become stagnant in your Christian growth, and you will lead others away from sin as well. Verse 11, for in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly provided to you. When you adopt these virtues and develop them in your life, your heart will naturally be following the leading of Christ. Your heart will be set in the same direction as His, because these are His virtues. Your words and your actions will point people in the direction of what it truly looks like to be following Jesus. And in this course or direction, your eternal destination is abundantly clear to all. When we set our hearts on these virtues, when we build them in our lives, people will see by us behaving by these virtues, they will see Christ in us. And them seeing Christ in us will make clear where our eternal destination is. Verse 12 and 13. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and are established in the truth, which is held firmly in your grasp. I think it right, as long as I am in this earthly tent, to inspire you by reminding you. This is where we come in. We need to remind each other of this. In life, we get set in autopilot. Especially in the fast-paced, time-demanding generations that are developing around us. But Peter reminds us to remind each other of just what it is that we're supposed to be doing here. We can go through the motions like robots void of emotion. We can develop a spirit of complacency and act like I've done my work. Let someone else carry the load now. We can do these things and people around us will question, is that what a Christian is? Is this what I should be like? Or we can receive and develop these virtues that are stored in God's Word for us to receive. These virtues handed down to us through the inspired Word of God. We can develop these virtues in our own heart and let people see Christ in us. These are His virtues. These are His instructions to us. And this is how people, even people who don't believe yet, will see Jesus in you. Exercise your faith every day. Like I already said, with the person who exercises their muscles so that they can continue to move and continue to grow. And I have a friend who decided to get healthy in his life, and so he started eating differently, and then he decided he wanted to exercise, and so then he started to exercise, and he decided that he really liked how that felt in his life, and so he started to exercise more and more. And then he started to study. You go to the internet and there's a slew of information on anything you want to look up. And so he started researching what it would look like if he did different types of exercise and healthy things in his life. And after a few months of dedicating himself to a different lifestyle, the place where he was going to exercise asked him if he wanted to become a personal health coach in their facility. And he had never thought about doing that in his life. But then he started going to their training courses on how to lead other people and being healthy in their life. And then he started exercising more and more. And he found that this was really what he enjoyed in life. And now you see pictures of him and he's this mammoth cut person. And in all his life, he never thought about being like that. We could have that same thing in our spiritual life. If we devoted our heart to searching for what God's Word says is the truth about the situations with foods and with nourishing our soul, and with receiving knowledge, and with receiving miracles, if we started searching God's Word for what the truth is about these things, and we start recognizing them happening in our lives, our spiritual faith, our souls, will start reflecting to people, just like the physical body of this person reflects to people, a cut lifestyle. No fat, no impurities. Let those absolutes, those unwavering truths of right and wrong, set deep in your conscience. As you search out what your morals should be and strengthen your resolve to them, search God's Word, His promised truths, and receive knowledge in the good fruits and bad fruits that are promised in the various choices that we will have in life. How many of you know that there's bad fruit represented in God's Word? A couple of you. God's Word, and I don't have my Bible up here today, but God's Word is filled with do's and don'ts. We all know that. Even unbelievers know that. But God's Word isn't wrote to us to micromanage our life. It's wrote to us so that we will see what God wants us to stay away from and why. And so when God tells the Israelites in the Old Testament, don't do this, because it'll lead to something bad, and they have a time in their life where they listen to God, and they don't do it, and they stay away from it, and then slowly they start falling into what He told them to stay away from. And then we see in these stories the outcome of what God told them was going to happen if they gave the way to these choices. We see it with kings. We see it with King Solomon, where God said, long before King Solomon even became a king, probably before he was even born, where God said through a prophet, if my people give way to this, give way to intermarrying with women from other countries, that they will slowly guide them away from God and their heart will not be dedicated. And then we see King Solomon in Scripture dedicated to God. And God says, I will prosper you. I will give you wisdom like never before. You will have treasures stored up like never before. Only stay away from this. Don't intermarry with women of other cultures, because they will lead you away from me and your heart will not be solely dedicated to me anymore. And we see King Solomon do this through his life. And then in his old age, he slowly starts giving way to these women that he intermarried with, thinking that he had the strength to stay away from whatever their cultures would bring about in his life. And slowly, his heart was divided and not solely dedicated to God. We see bad fruit in the Bible, where God says, don't do this because it leads to this, and I don't want this in your life. And we see good fruit. The things that we as people say, the do's and the don'ts, the do's. We see the good fruit of what happens if we follow God's leading and we do the things He tells us to do. Grow in wisdom of what outcomes will result from your choices. Let this knowledge build self-control in your heart. Let the knowledge of what God says not to do and to do, and what the likely outcomes will be from doing what He says not to do or doing what He says to do. Let it build self-control in your heart. I know for myself, I went through my young adult years and my late teenage years, and my parents and lots of people around me tried to put wisdom in my life. They tried to share some of their experiences and keep me from having to go through the same experiences that they did. And me and a friend of mine who's also a pastor just had this discussion last week as well about how we went through life and how many people came to us and tried to share their wisdom with us and how we received it. And so, how did you guys receive it when somebody did that for you? I know for me, I was pretty thick-headed. I knew everything. I was prepared for the world. I had went to school. I had street knowledge of how to get through things. I was good. I didn't need what they had. They were old. And I didn't receive what they had to say, and I had to experience the things that they were trying to hold me back from experiencing. I had to experience that bad fruit. I had to experience the negative things until I started becoming the one who was saying to the younger generations, save yourself this heartache. This is where this action leads to. This is where this choice leads to. Save yourself having to go through that. Make the other choice. It's exactly what God's word is for us. It's not to micromanage our lives. It's to spare us the heartache of making wrong choices. But we still have freedom of choice. And so God's word also tells us what we'll experience when we do make those choices that lead away from Him. Know the fruit that a choice will produce. This gives us an educated reason to make a controlled choice. Which experience do you want to have? Self-control is developed when we stop fooling ourselves as to what the outcome of choices will be. Self-control comes when we take control of ourselves and say, no, this is what that choice leads to, and I'm not going there. When we take control and begin making educated decisions versus impulsive and blind decisions, we will begin to be steady in our choices and our directions, continually choosing the choice that leads to the place we want to go. If you're choosing the direction that Scripture says leads to Christ, your choices will develop fruit in your life that reveals your determination to live a godly lifestyle. People will begin to see Christ in all you do and say, And this fruit that reveals your godly lifestyle will be evidence of your choosing to lovingly give of yourself to people who believe like you and to people who don't. Brotherly and sisterly affection and Christian love. In these virtues are areas that you and I still have to do work. And as we put in the effort, more and more people will see Christ in you and in me. Peter said, you've heard these things before, and some of them are already developing in you. But as long as I'm still here on earth, let me continue to urge you along in your development of these godly virtues that will reflect Christ in you to people who desperately are in need of what you have. Let them see Christ in you. And give them what's been developing in you. And so, I'm going to ask you guys to let this set in your heart. This message that we've shared today about letting Christ be seen in you. This message that we've shared today about exercising your faith and strengthening your spiritual health. About reading God's Word and letting it store in your heart and mind. About recognizing what's in God's Word and why God is telling us not to do something or to do something. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for everything that's written in your Word. We thank you for your love and your mercy that led you to send your Son to pay for our sins. We thank you for all that's stored in your Word to be encouragement and guidance throughout our lives. We thank you that we have your written Word. That people much wiser than us have gone through the ancient scrolls and delivered them in a language that we can understand so that we can know exactly what it is you desire of each of us. Lord God, we ask you to continue to draw us into your Word. Continue to draw us into a life that's dedicated to following your leading. Not because it's an obligation, but because our heart desire is that people would recognize through us how much they can have in you. Your love, your mercy, your grace, the freedom that's available just by turning to you and following you in the things we do and say. Continue to build your Word in our hearts and in our lives. Send your Holy Spirit upon us at times that we gather with other people and lead us in how to share our faith with them. Lead us in how to just be a follower of you, allowing them to see you in us. Lord God, help us. Heal us. Heal us of whatever may be holding us back. Heal us, Lord God, and strengthen us. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we ask this and we thank you. Amen.